people. So, hey, more Echo Chamber for you right now. And it's all thanks to the great AJ Furman, right? So, hits me up. Got a new indie film dealing with the nuances of relationships, right? And hey, sounds right up my alley. So I'm like, AJ, of course, I'm checking this one out, right? And so when AJ's involved, we get to check out the film and have a fantastic conversation on top. So that's what you're getting today. We're going to look at this new film and then we're sitting down with three of the leads and the writer, right? So, it is great. You're going to love it. People, let's get it started. Yo, people, so now we take a look at Thruple. Okay, people, so let's take a look at Thruple. This is the, I believe it's the feature debut from Grayson Hurst, written by Michael Doshier. The film is produced by Emmy Shockley, Phil Hughes, and Kara Bartek. It's executive produced by Julia Bicknell, Nanachka Khan, and Tristan Scott Beheranz. Dalian Burns took care of the music. Martin Blanco is on cinematography. Boris Oswell edits the piece. Production design, we have Mary Markson, Stein Dolham, took care of costume design. Hair and makeup, we've got Addy Fomp. And our cast, right? We have got Michael, played by Michael Doshier. We've got his best friend, Tris. His best friend, Tristan, played by Tristan Carter Jones. Her girlfriend, Abby, played by Jess Gabbar. And then we've got Connor, played by Tommy Helleringer. His husband, Georgie, played by Stanton Plummer Cambridge. There's Beth Million, played by Bethlehem Million. Taylor Turner plays Mac, right? Yes. Ralph is played by Charlie Reed. And we've also got Bobby Wojciechowski and Max Larson in roles. The gist story. Michael, a lonely gay singer-songwriter, has lost his way and his voice. He's hopeless. He's hopeless when it comes to dating and struggles to express what he needs from the people in his life. Not to mention, he hasn't really played much of his music for anyone in years. His social circle consists of his best friend, Tristan, and Tristan's girlfriend, Abby. Much to Abby's chagrin, Michael leans on them to fulfill his needs for emotional intimacy. One night, as Michael mans Tristan's merch table, he catches the attention of Georgie and Connor, a married couple looking for something or someone to do. A nonchalant hookup becomes a night of vulnerability that none of them expected. With encouragement from Tristan and Abby, Michael pursues Georgie and Connor The couple challenges Michael to open up about his feeling and even write some new songs. And for his part, Michael ignites a flicker in their marriage they feared was long gone. But Michael's world is thrown into chaos when Georgie, Connor, Tristan and Abby all make life-altering decisions that leave him feeling abandoned. Michael must decide whether to express his feelings and go after what he wants, both in his music and his relationships, or watch them all slip away. So, yeah, thruple. Now, whenever AJ comes with a film, I know it's going to be an interesting one, right? I know I'm going to enjoy it, but it's always different. It's always a different experience. And with thruple, yeah, this one, I think we've seen a lot of films in the queer space that are dealing with relationships and things, but they just, I don't know, they don't always feel real, right? A lot of times the relationships, the connections, the friendships, it all feels like there's these barriers there that wouldn't, like people are just reading lines. With thruple, we get this real emotional impact. And I think you don't even have to be gay for it to resonate with you. Because I think we've all had situations where, you know, you're trying to find people to fit, like, well, people, just one person to fit everyone. Right, there's a void, and so you lean on people too much. Right? I think we've all been there. So it just makes this super interesting, you know? I mean, we open up, and we've got, well, firstly, I will say, the use of still images, right? The use of still images is really interesting here. As the film opens, we got images of Michael and Tristan together, and then Abby joins to mix. So you can see that, you know, there was this friendship, and then someone new comes into the mix, right? So all of this becomes very clear just from these images, right, before anything gets said. But we also have these two scenarios going on at the same time, right? We've got Tristan recording an album, and we've got Michael teaching a lesson and then kind of getting into it with a student. Kind of, I guess you'd call it a student, a customer, someone taking lessons from him. And so we're seeing these two different dynamics. And throughout the film, right, we do get this kind of split screen effect. Sometimes it's things happening in two locations. Other times it's in the same place, but we've got someone in one room, someone else in another room. And it really works very well. Really works very well at helping to show the differences in a situation, right? The two different people's viewpoints on something, or the juxtaposition of a scenario, you know? And that's just like, oh man, it's really well conceived, right? Because I think it does a great job of bringing you in to these different dynamics. You know, there's a point when, you know, two people having a discussion, let's say, and then two other people of getting kind of intimate. But then there's other things going on. So we're seeing, so it's interesting that while this one conversation, this other more intimate kind of process is going or starting, you know, and we get a lot of that, which is, yeah, it works because, right, you have this conversation about feelings and emotion, and then other people actually having those feelings and emotion, right? So the film is littered with these great things, you know, and we have these scenes, man. Like, there's this bit when, you know, Tristan is about to go and perform, and you can see that Abby's trying to help her, and then Michael comes along and he's just like, ah, do this and there, this will help, and blah blah blah. And you kind of see the look on Abby's face of like, I should be the one giving her the support, but again, you kind of come and push yourself into this situation, right? Like, there's this other bit where another conversation is, you know, we're getting this talk about someone's aspirations, and as the camera pans, we see their partner, and you can see that they've heard something that has completely opened things up, that has let them see this new fold, this new dynamic through their partner. And these moments are great. These moments are great, right? We don't get that thing where everything needs to be tied up neatly with a bow. You know, one of my favorite bits is, you know, someone offering a weak-ass apology, and the other person is just like, nah, nah, that's what? But then going, we need to talk, right? And then they have this further conversation, where, because that's what happens sometimes, right? Like, you might not hear the thing that you want or need. And where in some films, right, you have the person then slam the door and it's just like, ah. In you know, in real life, right, when you're grown and sensible, it's just like, yo, look, there's still things to say. Let's try and break this shit down, you know? And so that's what is so great about this film, you know, about Thruple. There's, as a concept, you know, as a concept, I have no clue, right? I'm not trying to do a Thruple. I'm very good with my girl, right? We're not looking to bring someone new in. We're not looking to, you know, open up a marriage or anything like that. But even though not our experience, you can still watch this film and be connected to it, right? Because it's all about emotion. It's all about finding a way to connect with someone or people. You know, it's about using things as crutches, you know, being afraid to open up and communicate. All of these things are there, and I think for the most part, right, everyone has experienced these things, you know, whether you are gay or straight or whatever, you know, black or white, big, tall, fat, in, just, it doesn't really matter. We have all experienced these emotions, and so I love the way these emotions are painted for people to view, and real life is breathed into everything. You know, we have really great performances and, man, some of these expressions, right? Because that's where the emotion is sitting, right? When the camera pans to someone and the look on their face, right? The whether it's contemplation, abject fear, joy, love, or it's all there. It's all there in this magnificent way. So if you like films that deal with honest relations, then people, you want to check out Thruple. If you enjoyed, I think it was called Good Grief, right? It was by the son of the guy who created Schmidt's Creek, right? I mean, it's something Levy. And so he had a film on Netflix, Good Grief, last year. And I think if you enjoyed that, you will really enjoy Thruple. Because I think in that film, I didn't quite buy relationships. But so Thruple, man, you know what I mean? So yeah, if you're looking for a film dealing with real emotions, right, real love, then people, Thruple is going to be the thing that really shines for you. And yo, it's handled by AJ Furman, the great AJ Furman. And we know when she puts her stamp on a film, you need to pay attention. So those are my thoughts on Thruple. Let me know, did it resonate with you? Okay, so we have a real treat for you right now, because we have got Michael Doshia, we have got Tommy Helleringer, and Stanton Plummer Cambridge. So sit back and let's get into this fantastic conversation. Okay, people, so right, there's three of us here right now, and it's kind of thing because we're talking about Thruple. Yes, we're talking about Thruple with we've got writer actor Michael Doshia and Tommy Helleringer, one of the leads of the film. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate that. How are you both doing?
Tommy, you first.
I'm doing great. You know, it's a beautiful day here in Brooklyn, and I got my coffee and I'm halfway through my first bottle of water. I've had a banana. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Michael, take it away.
I'm doing super well. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having us. I am in Los Angeles, which is rainy today, and I'm flying to New York tonight to go to the Thruple theatrical premiere. So I couldn't be happier.
Boom. Outstanding. Like, this is, man, like, this is a big thing, right? You know what I mean? You got the feature film, and I think, is this the first feature you've written, Michael?
It is the first feature that I've had made. I've been writing features since I was a teenager, and that's sort of what I went to school for. But as far as the public is concerned, yes, this is the first feature I have written, because it's the first one I have to show for myself.
Man, so, hey, that must feel pretty huge, though, that this is making it to the world. Like, when you wrote this script, what was it that, like, did you feel this was going to be the one to make it over that parapet?
Yeah, it was sort of designed for that shot, at least. You know, it was the original you know, hope for it was to write something pretty contained so that me and my friends could actually make it. It was not a script designed to sell. It was a script designed to make in an indie way. So yeah, I was always considering production and budget and locations as it started from the very beginning. So I'm really happy it happened. You know, that doesn't mean it always actually happens, but yes, it was, this was always the goal.
Right. And casting wise, you know, like how was that for you with this? Did you have an idea of, you know, like Connor and Georgie when writing it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. I have to, you know, concede credit to our brilliant casting director, Jess Johns Casting, who found Tommy, who's on the call now and plays Connor brilliantly, and Stanton, who'll be joining us soon, who plays Georgie also brilliantly. So I cannot take credit for casting. And, you know, she worked closely with our director Grayson to make those calls. But I definitely had a vision for Georgie and Connor from the get-go of just their kind of connection to one another and the ways in which their marriage operated and how my character would complicate that. And I'll just, you know, Tommy and Stanton totally nailed it in their chemistry read. So I was very excited by them becoming Georgie and Connor. It was a perfect fit for me.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think that we have... Yep. Hey, people. We are now joined by Stanton Plummer Cambridge, who plays Georgie in Frapple. Stanton, thanks for stopping by, right?
How are you?
You good?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Yes.
Awesome. We were just literally just talking about the whole casting process. So, yeah, you arrived at an opportune moment.
Okay, great.
All right. So, Tommy, when this script came your way, like, what was your first instinct? Like, what did the character say to you?
I loved Connor's sort of maturity. I don't know that I share that maturity. But I found it somewhere in the depths of my being. I loved the relationship between Connor and Georgie very much. And then when I read with Stanton, it was just an immediate kind of like joy and connection. And it was... one of the very rare times, it's sort of only happened one other time, where it felt like it wasn't acting. It was just an immediate sort of rapport and just talking. And there happened to be people like watching us talk. It was, and I loved the story and the world. I loved that, I hadn't read anything like it where there wasn't any sort of like shame or at like quote unquote real world judging. It was just this sort of like navigation between these three people, free of any of that. And it felt like something very new. And I wanted to jump into that.
Yeah. Stanton, how did you feel when this script came your way?
I just want to say Tommy always speaks about this so beautifully, and it always makes me smile because there are so many things that I echo. I mean, you know, from the moment of like getting the script, I think that some of the things I understood about the character were like an immigrant experience. So my parents are immigrants. This character's an immigrant. I have a strong connection to the UK. My mom grew up in the UK. I have lots of family in the UK. I lived in the UK for 6 years. So there were like a lot of things maybe that about the character that I just understood.
So I should talk to you about a green card. I was born in the US,
but I will do research on your behalf getting a green card. But I mean those were sort of like the immediate things that stood out to me. Obviously the writing, I think, again, to echo some of the things that Tommy has said, the relationship and the fact that these are two people who, or at least upon the first time reading it, I felt like he was very, very brave. It never felt like he shied away from expressing what he wanted, which I think so frequently people do. You know, I think that regardless of how difficult it was to ask for what he needed, or I think really needed, he never really shied away from it. That was something that I found really interesting. I was lucky enough to like audition and then make it to a callback. And then again, similarly, you know, I think there is something that we all felt in the room when Tommy and I were reading together. And it was that's sort of how it went, you know? Yeah.
Okay. I think one of the things that really jumped off the screen with this film was the chemistry. There is so much incredible chemistry that you believe. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of times you'll watch a film and there's couple, but you just don't buy the couples. You don't necessarily buy the relationships. But here with, you know, Connor and Georgie, with Tristan and Abby, you buy both of these couples. And it's really just, and the friendship, right? With, now, Michael, you and Tristan, like you buy these. And I think that is, it's something that really does bring the film to life, right? Because if you don't have that, it's hard to buy anything else. Yeah, so like, how did you kind of perfect these things? How did you create this chemistry, you know, and get everyone in that place so they could feel like, you know, it was safe to express themselves in these ways?
Yeah, I appreciate everything you just said, and I agree with you. I love watching the performances of everyone that I worked with on this movie. I think everyone's so brilliant. I think that, you know, I can only really speak to the writing and the performance of mine. You know, I want to give a huge shout out to Grayson, who's our director, who was instrumental, to say the least, in fostering that sort of chemistry on screen. I think he's a brilliant director and really brought it out of all of us. As a writer, the Tristan dynamic was very true to my life. You know, that's my real best friend. That's she's playing some version of herself, just like I'm playing some version of myself. And she was with me from the very beginning, from the first draft of this script, at every table read, at every notes meeting. It was originally me and her and our friend, Phil Hughes, who's a producer on Thruple. It was just us. We were the Thruple for years, you know, before the ball really got rolling. So me and her, that's really lived in. That's really just the way it was for many years. We met each other at 18 and became a little codependent throughout college. And then things change as you get older, as you reach your mid-20s into your early 30s. There's just so much growth that happens where a friendship like that sort of begins with a seed of kind of immature young codependency, it can't really last forever like that. Mm. It has to change. It has to bend. And, you know, when she got her first partner, who she's now married to, so that really worked out. I was, you know, that was difficult for me in a lot of ways, because she was we were each other's primary partner for many years. And I'm really close with her partner, and we became very close throughout my mid-20s, which inspired the first Thruple. I was like always hanging out with them in ways that might be surprising, you know, sleeping over and that sort of thing within my, you know, being a full grown adult. And so that was just interesting to me and juicy. And like, you know, so I got started on the screenplay with that thruple in mind as the most lived in experience. And then I think that when it comes to the romantic thruple, the Michael, Georgie and Connor thruple, I was really just drawing from experiences like dating married people and guys in open relationships. And the refrain that I always heard whenever I'd be on a date in that of that nature was that, you know, open communication was the key to success here. And that was difficult for me as a person for most of my 20s and life up until this point. And so I, you know, just kind of dramaturgically realized that if a character was super bad at that, like me, but maybe even worse than me, that would make falling in love with a married couple quite difficult. If the whole principle is the only thing that makes this work is being truly open and honest with each other. So then I just kind of got to cracking on the script with those two kind of ideas, those two thruple structures in mind.
That's really interesting. And I want to hit that last part, right? Because you were like, for the character to fall in love with a couple, that would be difficult. Because in my mind, I was thinking, maybe, right, the couple dynamic was the pull factor, because thinking, I'll never be with either in a one-to-one, right? So this is easier because I don't have to, you know what I mean? Because they've got each other for those, you know what I mean, real moments. And I'm just the, hey, I'm here to party kind of dynamic of it kind of thing. You know what I mean? So I was thinking maybe that's why Michael could gravitate to this.
Yeah. It's so great. I have heard so many theories about sort of this movie from people who've seen it at film festivals and kind of find me at the after party and want to talk about it that are so exciting to hear as a screenwriter, because it's definitely, you know, taken on layers of meaning beyond what I, you know, originally sat down to do. And I'm like down for all of it. Like, I'm like, I'm like, bring on the theories, bring on the ideas. You know, I don't actually have a take on what happens once the credits roll, you know, and I won't give away the ending, but I will say that I, as the writer, don't know what happens next per se, because the story that I was, you know, tracking, it ends, you know, right there. But yes, I love everything you said about like what could be going on in Michael's head and in Georgie and Connor's head. And I also, you know, tried to cleverly write the script in a way in which you can tell that like the whole equation doesn't make sense if it's just me and Georgie or just me and Connor.
Yeah.
So that it kind of, whether or not, you know, whether or not it's gonna work, it like the movie itself doesn't make sense in any other way besides the three at least, you know, trying to figure it out. But I'd be curious what Tommy and Santon think about this, if you have anything to add. Not to put you on the spot. And it's okay.
Yeah, Tommy, what was your kind of take on the whole dynamic of the throuple?
You did, Michael, put us on the spot. My take on it, I think that ultimately desire is good and it is worth going after, I think is my main takeaway. Yes, of course, like the open communication things will only work with a lot of, because I've spoken to throuples as well. And that was the number one, communication. You have to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine that you do, because, you know, I'm in a relationship with one, and it requires lots of communication and talking. So it just sort of, it would be the same thing for two of them. But I think ultimately, yes, that it comes down to the desire and what you want, and not being afraid of asking for what you want. And communicating it and going after it.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's like, I also sort of thought about it as like needs, you know, what, which I guess is the same thing, like in any relationship, there are like needs, right? Like people have different needs, and sometimes your partner, it's kind of unrealistic to expect one person to meet all of those.
Mm.
At times, right? And also people change. I mean, we meet Georgie and Connor at a period in their relationship where they've been together for years and like they've both grown and they've grown together. But like, I think I can only really speak for Georgie. I think there are certain things that he needs, which potentially are not being met and maybe are met by meeting Michael. And I think that that's not something that, I think that's something that like everyone can sort of hook into. It's kind of like a universal thing, you know, at any given point, people reflect on their relationships and sort of question like, what's happening? Like, is this, you know, is this what I want? Am I getting my needs met? Yeah, I think that's something that in terms of like why they maybe work as a throuple, at least from Georgie's perspective, is like Michael awakens something in him. And then he also awakens something in Connor. I mean, there's, you know, a really amazing scene. I'm not spoiling anything. I think people have maybe, I don't know, seen it, but like where Tommy does his amazing drag performance, which is something that like the character of Georgie has never seen before. And it sort of breaks apart his understanding of who his partner is, who his partner can be, what his partner is capable of. And he sees him differently.
Mm.
You know, he sees a different side of him, which is a beautiful thing to happen because we think we really know people, or we think we have people figured out, or it's easier to think that we have people figured out. But the reality is people are so unbelievably complex, you know, different people bring out different aspects of who we are.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Because I think we're always kind of given that picture of love being and friendship, being where people connect and meet on every single thing. And it's just like, it's very unrealistic, you know? I've always found different friendship groups work because it's just like, not everyone likes the same music. So when it was like going to a rap concert, I knew the friends to hit up. When it was going to an indie concert, I knew the other friends to hit up, right? The friends that liked action films, the friends that like comedies, you know? So you don't have to drag the same person to all of those things. That you can be like, oh, I want to see this. Let's go. This person will want to go here. So it's just like, if that's in a friendship group, it's going to be the same with a relationship. Like, one person doesn't need to be the thing for every single moment, right? You've got that love connection with them. And that's great, right? You can have deep conversations with them, but then they don't have to be the person to go drinking with or some of those other things, because that might not be their thing. Yeah. So it's interesting when you come across something like Rupple that takes a look at these dynamics in this honest and unapologetic way. And I think that really comes through in the film. And it's just, yeah, it just makes you smile, right? Because you understand these moments, you understand like these emotions people are feeling, and it's refreshing actually seeing it on film.
Thank you so much. That's the highest compliment I've ever received, I think. Thank you. I completely agree and don't even know if I have much to add because you said it so beautifully, but I think that's totally right. And I think that that's sort of what, that's kind of, I've never actually, this is a new thought. I've never worked this one out before, but you made me think like, that's kind of interesting in the film because like, there's so much of that kind of who can do what for whom in unique ways. It's all exciting and generative within the throuple between me, Tommy, and Stanton. And then, but you have almost the opposite going on between the throuple between me, Abby, and Tristan, where I'm wanting them to kind of be there for me in all the ways that I need, and not having the discernment to understand that everyone is going to be there for you in the ways they can be, but not, they can't be everything to you. And that's definitely a lesson that I've learned that was another lesson I learned throughout my 20s too, is that you do need that kind of community, not just one person to place all your dreams and fun times and plans and fantasies onto. You need a community. And, I think one thing that's also cool about Throuple is on the topic of community is that it is a deeply queer film and it taps into what it's like to create your own chosen families and your own communities within queer spaces. So I think that, just going back to your sort of original musings about the throuple, romantic structure, I've always been inspired by my community as a queer person's ability to think outside the box as to what works for them. There's nothing heteronormative about a throuple or, opening your relationship, although straight people are catching on. But I love that about being queer. It's my favorite thing about being queer is that you can let your imagination take you down a new path of what's possible for your life, you know? And I really think that these characters are doing their best to make that happen. And I'm proud to have that on screen.
But here's the thing, because I think an interesting thing I sometimes find with, you know, queer films, like in the promotion about it, you know, the talk is this is a queer film and, you know, it's looking at this and blah, 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 blah. But I watched the film and I can still relate to the film. You know what I'm saying? So so it's times where I'm just like, is it a queer film? You know what I mean? Or is it just a human nature film? Right? Because it's just, even though it's boy, boy, girl, girl, you know what I mean? Whatever the dynamic of that film is, it's still human feelings, right? It's still emotions. And so when someone gets dumped, when someone finds love, when someone finds a best friend, like they're all things that everyone can relate to. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, regardless of the sexuality, regardless of the skin color, regardless of height, shape, any of these things, I think we've all, for the most part, had these feelings, had these emotions, had these experiences. So it's just like, regardless of, you know, you watch the film and it can touch your heart, right? You can get those things. Like some of these moments in the film are just like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? There's a bit where Michael turns up and he gives this big speech, right, to a character. And I think in the traditional film, everyone then hugs and it's just like, ah. But I love the fact it's just like, wait, no hug? And it'd be like, yo, you can be a piece of shit, right? And I'm just like, yes, because sometimes those speeches, they're not real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally. So,
but then the conversation that hit afterwards, that really drill down to the real emotion of it, and you could see the realization there. And I thought that was great, right? I love that moment, you know what I mean? But it's like one of those things, again, that it doesn't really matter the sex.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's always been those times when you fucked up, right? And you go and you give that bit of a weak ass apology and be like, ah, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, like, I understand that you make a film with your peoples, right?
Sure.
That reflects your surroundings, so reflects your community. So I think for you, this can be a queer film. Right, it's not being like, no, Michael, this is not a queer film. You are wrong. No, but I'm just like, I think sometimes we put labels on things and they could be barriers for other people. You know what I mean? For the film to blossom and grow and spread, because you find that then saying it's a black film, then it only plays in certain rooms. Right, it only hits certain algorithms. So when you say it's a queer film, it might only stay in certain algorithms. But really, I could connect to this film, and you know what I mean. I'm heterosexual, so it's just like,
Hell yeah,
it's just a human film, man, and you feel it, man. You really do feel it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate that. I'm so glad you connected with it. That means the world. Thank you.
Yeah, it was just like, there's a bit when you're all in bed and Stanton is talking to you, Michael, and it looks like Tommy's asleep. And then the camera pans and you see Tommy and you're just like, oh, like you just feel like he's realized something, right? Or like he sees this connectivity that could be there between Georgie and Michael. And it's just like, you know, and I thought that was such a great, like, honest moment. You know what I mean? Because it's not like, you know, Connor is, you know, Georgie, you cannot do this, or blah, blah, blah. But there's this slight worry that he might be being pushed out slightly. And I think the subtleness, the, you know, the delicacy which all of this is handled, like, really, it just breathes this fresh life into the story, because it's not hitting over the head with a hammer, right? It's not these blunt things, because that's not always life, right? It's these subtle little things that you don't always see when they're happening, and then suddenly you're in this thing. And so I thought, yeah, it was just this beautiful way in which this story is being told, you know. Yeah, I kind of missed where I was going, but yeah, no, it was just, yeah, I really loved those moments.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that you know, these are five, you know, well-intentioned characters. You know, no one is, you know, the enemy is not, there's the antagonist is not one of these people. Everyone, the antagonist, it comes from within, in a way, you know, it's man versus self. It's one of those. And I think that everyone's really doing their best. And I think that's a really moving part of the movie, is that everyone wants everyone else that they're with to be happy and have a full life. There's plenty, just to be clear to anyone listening, it's not a drama-free movie. I know I'm making it sound like it's just, you know, rainbows and hanging out. It's not that, but it is people that love each other and want the best for each other. And then plenty of friction comes from that, as you said. But I think that when intentions are pure, the friction is nuanced, like you described, because no one's out to ruin anyone's life. And
yeah, and
Tommy and Stanton.
I mean, apart from you in the nightclub.
Correct.
That was not cool, man. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I actually usually take a bathroom break during that scene, conveniently timed to that scene. That's a hard one. Yeah. But a movie's got to come to a head, man. That's just the structure. You got to take them there around page 70. You know what I mean? It's not me. It's the form.
Now, one thing I'm really interested about is how you all, like, channel down into those emotions for certain scenes, right, Tommy? Like, you know, because you've done TV, film, you know, you and Stanton, TV, films, you know what I mean? A load of different stuff, right? So I'm sure there's all of these, in every role, there's all these different emotions and things you have to bring. So how, Tommy, do you find those moments, right? How do you find those key things for the character?
I think it's obviously personal for everybody, but or different for everybody, but I sort of everything is sort of there. You don't need to really do too much. You just sort of behave truthfully under imaginary circumstances, as if it's like really happening. That's pretty much the short of it. I mean, I think about stuff, dream about it. I don't know. I really, really a lot of the work is done when you're handed a script like Michael's and you have across from you someone like Stanton and Michael. I mean, it's done. You honestly listen and respond. It's a lot simpler than I think people like to complicate it a little bit sometimes or mystify it. And it isn't. It's what we're doing right now on a podcast. We're just being truthful and talking to each other. It's nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm. Stanton, what about you, man?
I mean, I agree. I think it's all the I can be really bad about speaking about the way to like get into it, because it's all like the words are just signposts. Like it's just the words that we're using to describe how we get into it or drill down to whatever emotionality is just like a signpost. It's not a real, it's so ephemeral, you know, it's hard to describe, I think.
Yeah.
But I think that the gift of something like this script, it always has to start with a script. To echo what Tommy says, it has to start with a script, and it also has to be personal. And once you're able to personalize something, then the work is sort of, you're involved and you're engaged, you know? And I think that the gift of this script is that so much of it was immediately personal. Sometimes you have to do a little bit more work to personalize things, because a character can be far away from you. Or you may not recognize behavior because people are crazy, or, you know, whatever it is. But I think the aim is bringing yourself to whatever that experience is, and that calls for personalization. And then afterwards, you, as Tommy said, you are dealing with people who are there and real in front of you. And that's a gift, you know? Yeah.
And Michael, what have you found with these things?
Well, this was my first acting role, so I found a lot because there was a lot to locate. I would say that everything they said rings, you know, really true to me. And I felt really glad that my first acting role was playing a version of myself and playing a script that I had written for many, many years, been working on for many years, because I remember feeling like, oh, I need to like devote my day to memorizing these lines, and then I would have them memorized in 3 minutes because they were basically already there. So I feel really lucky and grateful, again, grateful to have literally like the most perfect co-stars I could imagine in Tommy and Stanton, and also a great director who led me through this role, and who I learned to trust and believe when he said, that felt connected, that felt genuine, that was great. You know, I never knew, and this is where I, you know, Tommy and Stanton may, as amazing professional actors, may relate to this, or they may be like beyond this. But one thing I noticed was like, I could never really tell if I had done a good job. And then, so I had to, there was just not enough time to really stress about that or do like 5 takes of every single thing. Mm. So I just learned to trust Grayson. And if he said he had it, he's the one watching the monitor. So I learned to trust him. And yeah, that's, and I would say it was also easy, made easy. You know, I've already said this, but I'll just say it again. It was made easy for me because of how generous Tommy and Stanton were with their immense talent, but also, you know, probably patience with me on set as a first timer, and genuine friendship that developed between us. I mean, we're still friends to this day, I hope and believe. I'm looking at them to see if they agree. but it certainly feels that way. And, you know, it could have been a totally different ball game if that wasn't how it happened. You know, indie sets in Brooklyn are not always easy or comfortable, and all the actors were generous with their time and gifts and flexible with us in all the ways that an indie production, you know, needs flexibility. So I couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah. How did you come across Grayson? Because I thought he did a tremendous job with the film. And I loved the still image usage. The way, you know, those were used in the transitions and the montages, because it added that little something extra.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. I agree with you. I think Grayson is a genius, and I think he did an amazing job with this movie, and I'm so grateful. Grayson, I found through, he had directed a short, written and directed and edited a short film called The Bugs and the Slugs, which was at Slam Dance. And I saw it during the COVID years because all these film festivals went virtual. And I was looking for a director for Thruple. And I saw that me and Grayson were both alum of the same school. And I loved the short so much. And so I figured I had an in there. And me and Phil emailed him and started talking, and then he eventually became the director of Thruple. And I agree with you. I love the photo montage. It is such a smart way. This is my read of it. He would maybe say his own, you know, thing about what it means to him. But for me, it seems like such a smart way to expand the scope of the film to outer New York without expanding the budget. So it was super resourceful, but also super interesting. Like when it goes to those shots, I feel the audience kind of perk up because it's a new kind of cinematic language. And there's a lot of clever stuff in that movie that Grayson gets all the credit for, because he is he thinks in this sort of visionary way that I don't always tap into as a writer. You know, he's a real director.
Yeah, no, I think at the beginning it really showed your and Tristan's friendship, and then it brings in Abby, so then you kind of then see that dynamic, and I thought that was a really clever way of showing all of that without having to be like, oh, so they were friends for this many years, and then they did this, and blah, 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 you know, we just saw it, right, and there was like these great, I think when you leave the house to run to Abby's, and we see that in the slows as in the images as well, and it's just like, I thought it was such a smart way of storytelling.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much.
So, how many people have, you know, seen the film so far, right? Like, you know, you're just about to put it out in the world, right? What has been the initial response?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, 2024 was our sort of big festival year. So we played many film festivals, a lot of queer film festivals who, you know, opened their arms to us and treated us so beautifully. And, you know, a few sold out screenings here and there throughout the country. I flew to Australia for the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, where we sold out there as well. So I'm so grateful to the film festival community, which I, you know, got to experience for the first time this past year. And really welcomed Thruple. And I'm really excited because, you know, we're on this call now because of distribution. Our distributor, our American distributor, Deku, has come on board and been incredible and believes in this film and sees it in all the ways that us four on this call have been talking about and see it and ourselves. And They are kind of about to be the ones that expand it to broader populations and to the world. So we have our New York theatrical run that starts tomorrow, March 14th, in New York at the Quad Cinema, and it's playing all week at the Quad. We were just doing two nights, but it expanded. You know, I'll be there for the two opening night celebrations, and then the very next weekend, the 21st and 22nd, it's hopping over to LA where I am now, and I'll be at those two as well. So I think we're just, you know, we're reaching the next phase with Deku's help of expanding the word about Thruple.
Well, your PR, your publicist, you've probably got the best in the game. So, you know what I mean? When AJ, you know what I mean, pushes a film, like, she just knows how to, you know, I think find the right places for that film to shine, right? And the people involved to be able to really, I think, get to the heart of what it is, you know?
Yeah, I love AJ. This is she's been amazing, and she connected us with you. And this has been so fun. So, I'm loving the ride. It feels really great to. This is, you know, a thing, and I'm so grateful to everyone who's making this happen, including you, including AJ, including Tommy and Stanton. It's been many years of dreaming that this film might happen, and then many years of dreaming that, you know, we'd finish, and then many years of dreaming anyone would see it. And so this is, you know, truly these are dreams coming true. And I am just full of gratitude.
Oh, man. I mean, we often hear, like, you know, people talking about cinema being dead, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's no space for anything if it's not a tentpole, if it's not a superhero film, right? That, you know, we hear that all the time. But I think it's films like Thruple that I think people do want to see. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I think these things resonate with people. You know, an action film is great, a superhero film is great, but we also want films that kind of deal with the complexity of life, right? And the ones that we often get, they're too saccharine, you know what I mean? It's like they want to wrap everything with a neat bow all the time, so you don't have that honesty in what you're watching. I mean, what do you think about the state of cinema and the, you know, power of storytelling?
Whoa. Okay. And that's a great question. I resonate with a lot of what you said. Well, I've been so encouraged. I mean, one of the great things about being on a film festival circuit is that you meet a lot of filmmakers and see a lot of great films that were made for small budgets that are really quite incredible. So I'm coming off of that experience of, like, making a lot of new friends who made films for amounts of money that would shock any of us. Like, the resourcefulness is through this world if you get creative enough and have a good team, that I kind of feel encouraged and happy about the state of independent cinema, for sure. I feel like that will never waver, that will never die. As long as creative people and filmmakers exist, there will be people that fight and fight and fight to see their films come to life no matter what. And that's kind of the world I'm in, because I'm so deeply entrenched in Thruple right now. So I feel a little protected from having to think too hard about the state of capital H Hollywood. But maybe circle back with me in a year and I'll have a take on that.
Oh dear, oh dear. Stannon, what do you think about Hollywood and storytelling?
And yeah. Stanton, before you begin, I just want to say I actually have to hop off the call. But Kevin, thank you so much. And you're in good hands for the rest of the interview with Tommy and Stanton. I can't thank you enough for everything that you've done for us this morning with Thruple. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Hey, you too, man. Appreciate your time and stop by with your next project. All right.
Will do. Thank you so much. Okay. Awesome. See you guys.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
Oh, Michael's so funny. Okay. So you, the state of filmmaking.
Yeah. I think like Hollywood, you know, cinema stories, yeah. All of that jazz.
You know, I think that right now we're sort of in a phase, it feels like to me, where there's an unbelievable amount of potential, and people, there's sort of like this democratization of production. Like people can produce things by themselves. They can do them on shoestring budgets. They can shoot things on iPhones. That doesn't mean that everyone wants to do that or that everyone should do that necessarily, but everyone can. And I think that independent cinema and film is sort of, and always has been sort of leading the wave of like actual film that like makes a difference and like tells truthful stories. But the fact that, you know, Anora just absolutely swept at the Oscars, you know, this is an independent film that was made for, I mean, it's still lots of money, but you know, less, I mean, I'm sure less than half of like, or maybe a quarter of like the amount of money that all of these other films are made for, you know, it cleaned up at the Oscars. And I think that that's really telling, you know, it's like when you allow people to tell stories that are truthful and impactful, and they may be hyper-specific, you know, Anor is about a sex worker, and a lot of that director's movies are about sex workers. But I think in that specificity, as you've said, and to echo what you say, like in that specificity is something that's universal. Like people recognize these things, or people recognize emotions, or people recognize a myriad of experiences that these characters are living through. So I think I'm hopeful about the future of, you know, film and cinema and independent movies generally. And I think that's what I'm going to hold on to. I think Hollywood is a difficult place generally, but independent film gives me hope.
Yeah. What about you, Tommy? Do you have anything to add to this?
Kevin, I have no idea. No, I don't have anything to add about the current state of cinema. I keep my life pretty small, so I'm able to manage it. I just go about doing the best I can. Sorry. I wish everyone well, though. You know what I mean?
Dear. Like, did you both, you know, from that early age want to be actors?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. Although, to be honest, it was sort of, my dad used to introduce me to people as his son. This is my son, Tommy. He's going to be an actor. Before I really knew what that was or meant. Mm. He just sort of saw it in me, and yeah, he put sort of the idea in my head. I mean, I loved it. So, you know, it fit, but my dad was sort of the one who sort of put it in me. And took me to theater. And I still remember the feeling, and I it still comes back to me sometimes when I do theatrical endeavors, that of that feeling of sitting in the audience the first time and looking at that curtain and thinking, oh, what is this? This is something. And yeah, thankfully, I mean, sometimes I lose that and it scares me, but it's still with me. It comes back, thank God. But yeah, from since I was very little.
Uh-huh. And what about you, Stanton?
Yeah, I think I've wanted to do this really for as long as I can remember. I think the only thing that's changed is like how willing I've been to accept it and accept, you know, what that means potentially for life. Or maybe I had to like strip myself of ideas of what it of expectations and just sort of do it, you know. But I think that, and it might sound really very like woo-woo, but I do think it's a calling. I think that like you, if you love it, there is sort of something about it that's like inescapable and inexorable, and it's like I'm gonna be doing this, and there's sort of comfort in that, but it can also be terrifying because you're like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to do anything else. And it's terrifying because other things are easier. Other things are easier, Kevin. Other things are easier. But there's also great comfort in knowing that like this is what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that experience of sitting in the cinema and just being taken somewhere completely unexpected. I really love that experience. That is always like, I remember when I went to see the first Gladiator in The Matrix. There's like a friend just called me up and was just like, Joe, do you want to go to cinema? And I had no clue what was playing. So I'm just like, I'm not doing anything, so why not? Right? So I'm sitting there and suddenly you're in The Matrix and you've got those green things coming down. And it's just like, yo, what is this? You know what I mean? And then there's the bullets and you're just like, God damn. This is crazy. And like in Gladiator, that opening scene and the battle, and you've got the fire and the arrows and everything, and just the scale of it is insane. And it's just like, you just want to have those experiences over and over again, you know, where you're just teleported somewhere completely unknown and surprising and just being captivated by a story. That's always just a great feeling. One thing I'm curious about, how do you guys unpack like the emotions of a film? Because, you know, there's a lot of intimate like and just heartfelt emotions going through Thruple. So at the end of a day, you know, when it's like cut, like, is it an easy thing to kind of shed all of that and then get back to, you know, Stanton and Tommy's lives? Like, or is there something that you utilize to kind of, you know, bring you back? Kind of like, you know, when a magician hypnotizes someone and they'll be like, and I'll do this thing and then you're back. Like, is there something that you have to kind of bring you back to yourselves?
I think that it depends on what it is. In working on Thrupple, I mean, actors, forgive me for the general statement, but actors love to act. I love to act. So when it's going well, even if it's like a horrible thing, you feel joy. There is some kind of like, and where all acting, in my opinion, comes from, is inexorable joy. So it's actually a wonderful feeling at the end of the day to feel like you've been used for your purpose. So I go to bed thrilled. It usually takes me a while to go to sleep. If you've had a good day at the office, so to speak. This is what I want to do. And I feel, you know, oh gosh, I don't want to sound stupid, but I feel like I'm living my purpose. So it's sort of like, it's, there's certain things that I guess you can feel like really tired or you're spent. But if it's doing something that you really want to do, it's sort of a good spend.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. How about you, Stanton?
Yeah, I think I agree that, like, you know, acting should be a joyful thing. You know, it should be something that is joyful. Even if you are, again, doing a scene that's terrible, there has to be a sense of like play about it, you know. And I think that's something that helped maybe on this film in particular, and I guess on other projects where it's like smaller and the closer, you know, people on set are close, is that it's grounding to, like, you know, shoot something and then after, once you finish a scene, just like have a conversation with someone or like be able to return to a normal way of like engaging with people as yourself. I think that that's an incredibly grounding experience to have on set, and not something that's always necessarily available. I also think that, like, you know, we haven't spoken about our intimacy coordinator, but we had a great intimacy coordinator called X, who was really good at just like getting us comfortable, I think. And that was really invaluable. It can be, you know, shooting anything that's like a sex scene, although maybe titillating to people who are watching it, when you're shooting it, it's like the least sexy thing ever.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, it's like choreography, you know, and it's so methodical because it has to be to keep people safe. And I think that things like that, having those touch points built into like the filming process, made it such that at the end of the day, I was like, I feel great. I don't feel as though I was, you know, taken advantage of, or I don't feel as though there was anything that blurred the lines, and I don't feel there's no negative residue. I do think there is residue when you are doing something, because you're doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, and you're opening yourself up to certain things, and certain things are going to stick with you.
Yeah.
But there's, as long as it's not a negative thing, as long as it's something that opens you up and makes you more empathetic, that's a positive thing.
Yeah, I think that's really true. You know, it's just, when I think about the things I do, like, you know, the day job is communications and marketing. And it's interesting, because what I love about doing the podcast is being able to have these type of conversations, right, where it's just, there's no script, and you're just talking about like passion, essentially. You know what I mean? And the way it relates to different things and different people and how you view it and consume it. And I think when I'm, you know, in a corporate role and you're allowed to be free as this, right? And have honest conversations and write an actual real press release. That's when the job is so great. Like, but it's just those times when it's so confining, right? It's like, oh, you shouldn't use those words and you can't do this and you can't do that. And then, so I can't actually bring any sort of passion to this because, you know, you're not letting me, you know what I mean, talk about it in an honest way. And I mean, that's when it just be confining, you know, but when it's free, man, it doesn't feel like work. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like a chore. It just feels like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to be doing. Yeah. So, yeah, not quite the same as you guys, but I think I do get it in a way. And, yeah, so, I mean, you both, as I said, done various roles, right? TV, film. Is there anything that you would really like to sink your teeth into, maybe a different genre, like, you know, a different type of character before all is said and done? Tommy.
Yes. There's many things. I like to go after things that scare me a little bit. And then once I do that, I need to do something scarier. Yeah, I am hard at work on doing a one-person version of The Glass Menagerie. And it's been thrilling. It's been like one of the greatest experiences of my working life. I would like to do, oh my God, why am I going to say it? Shakespeare? And I would like to play George and Who's Afraid of Virginia. Well, there's many things. We don't have time. But yes, as long as it's scary, as long as there's something about it that makes me fearful, so that I can develop my courage. It's not too hard. Most things terrify me. But yeah, as long as it's a little scary, I'm going to go for it.
Okay. How about you, Stanton?
Yeah, I agree. I don't have anything off the top of my head, but I mean, you know, I think that's because these things come to you as opportunities and then you sort of have to meet you meet the moment of whatever that is. But there's so, I mean, again, I think anything that challenges you is a worthwhile pursuit, and something that scares you. So I would have to echo what Tommy said.
Awesome. And do we have things in the pipeline after this Frapple push?
Yes, I'm in the yes, there is. Going to be doing something in June and July, but I don't want to talk about it unless till I've signed.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Toby?
Yeah, I'm in a play right now, and then I'm going to do a film in April, and then I'm going to do a performance of the aforementioned Glass in May.
Man, it's chocker. It's chocker block for you there.
Yeah, but you know what? They're all things that I created myself, because the waiting around thing, it don't work for someone like me. It may work for other people, but I sort of have to do my own stuff. It's the only way I can get through this thing.
Well, that's great, man. That's great. Awesome. Well, how can people keep track of everything both of you are doing? Tommy?
Oh, I'm terrible at marketing, but I'm on a program called Instagram, and I have a website that I pay for yearly.
Do you keep it up to date? That's the question.
I do. I just posted, yes, I on the main page. There's tickets to the play. There's a little clip art of Thruple. I just updated it. Just under the buzzer.
Good, 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 good. And how can people keep track of you, Stanton?
I'm also on Instagram. It's at SPCTRON. And follow at your own peril. Because it really is some of the most unhinged. It's my thoughts, a stream of consciousness, and it doesn't always make sense, but it always makes me giggle. Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, gentlemen, this has been great. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I am very glad you both and Michael were able to pass through, and we got to talk all things Thruple and then more, right? Because, yo, your performances as Georgie and Connor in Thruple were tremendous. Those were great. Like, you really did nail that relationship, you know what I mean? And you brought a reality and honesty to this situation that we don't always see. So, hey, tremendous job with that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what's next for both of you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Hey, no worries at all. Like, yeah, please stop by when you have those next things you'd like to talk about. Door is open, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, people, go and check out Thruple, the new film starring Stanton, Tommy, and Michael, with a whole host of other very talented individuals. The link will be on the website, so you can go, go click through for the film, and you can go follow Tommy, Michael, and Stanton to keep up to date on all of these interesting projects they have in the pipeline. So make sure you go and support, because indie film, it really is where it's at right now. All right, gentlemen, again, thank you so much for your time. It's been a tremendous pleasure talking to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Well. Right? I mean, I said it was going to be great. And people, this was outstanding. This was outstanding. Right? Everything I said is true. It's fact. I believe it. I felt it, right? Thruple is a really, you know what I mean? It's a film that just touches those points, right? And does a fantastic job about it. And man, getting to talk with Michael, Tommy, and Stanton was fantastic, right? Like, so much thought there. So much thought. And, you know, just honesty about, you know, getting into a role, writing the script, just all of these things. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did having it. And again,
tremendous from those guys. AJ, thank you for hooking it up, right? And we're just keeping those echo chamber juices flowing. So people, I think we've got a little something extra, I think. So we'll see you there. And as always, we'll be back next week for more Echo Chamber. So until next time, peace.